read this morning from Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text 24. Description of the Kingdom of God. This is Lord Brahma speaking to the demigods. We just heard him speaking 6, 7, 8 verses describing Vaikuntha. He's describing Vaikuntha to the demigods, describing the panorama or the scene of the four Kumaras as they are entering into the precincts of Vaikuntha, the nature of the place, the birds and the wildlife and the trees and the tulsi and the people and their airplanes and their buildings and the consciousness. Then, where we ended yesterday evening, he speaks this verse. It's like a pause, or the mood is shifting slightly. He's, on the one hand, how wonderful it is, these topics about transcendental realm, the abode of the Lord, his devotees, such wonderful topics. On the other side, how unfortunate that persons don't take these topics. He mentioned this, thinking specifically about it this morning, that the pilgrimage of the crow literature, where the world is filled with it. Rubbish literature to attract, because it's there, because there's a market for it. There are people that they want it. And the more that they want it, the more it's supplied, and things are done to help them feel that they want it. And further and further and further, Kali Yuga degradation takes people away from their real happiness, in search of happiness. Most unfortunate. Hata bhagai. Greatly unfortunate. So then, this morning, we're discussing the verse where Brahma continues on the importance of the human form of life. So, time, importance of time, the importance of circumstance, the importance of human, the valuable resource that we have. These are themes within the Bhagavatam. They're just being expressed in these sets of verses in a very nice way. Lord Brahma said, "My dear demigods, the human form of life is of such importance that we also desire to have such life." Demigods, human form of life is better than ours. So important, so valuable, such great fortune is there. For in the human form of life, one can attain perfect religious truth and knowledge. These two items are mentioned several times in the translation and the purport. So, perfection of religion, religious perfection, different ways of saying the same thing, and attain transcendental knowledge. If one in this human form of life does not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his abode, it is to be understood that he, fill in blank, most unfortunate. He is very much affected by the influence of external nature. That's how it ends. Samohita Mayaya. Very much affected by the influence of the illusory energy, external energy. And then this added term is there, Vitataya, all pervading. Not like we get a break. It's there's free will. And the unfortunate are those that choose wrongly, or the unfortunate are those that don't even know what the choices are. But to know what the choices are and then to choose wrongly, both, you know, unfortunate and very unfortunate. But there certainly is a free will option on the menu. You can go to the side of hearing about, remember, because there's subject, just exactly as the first canto discussion goes. Everyone is, as Prabhupada says, the birds get up in the morning and they're chirping. They're singing. Where is food? Everyone gets up in the morning and does something. So, what's the latest in the news? What's the price of rice? What's in the stock market? Who did it to whom? What's going on in the political arena? What happened in the sports page? And there's so many, there's subject matters in all species of life. It's natural. Then the human form of life comes and there's this opportunity to achieve perfection of knowledge and perfection of religiosity. And one neglects it. Besides, you know, besides the downstream, what happens if you neglect it? That's most unfortunate. But the free will choice is to say no to Krishna and yes to Maya. So there's that dimension of this verse, and then it's the other side is just the glorification of how auspicious is this subject matter. Here he is, Brahma is speaking about Vaikuntha, 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 Vaikuntha. It's ecstatic. And then he pauses and says to the demigods, you know, this is so wonderful. Why we're hanging out in demigod loka, trying to be enjoyers? We could be fixing our consciousness upon Vaikuntha consciousness. And then the human form of life is especially valuable for that purpose. Even we aspire for that. What does so if one gets the human form of life and neglects it? How unfortunate. So, appreciation and compassion. Purport. Brahmaji condemns very vehemently the condition of the human being who does not take interest in the personality of Godhead and his transcendental abode, Vaikuntha. The human form of life is desired, even by Brahmaji. Brahma and the other demigods have much better material bodies than human beings, yet the demigods, including Brahma, nevertheless desire to attain the human form of life, because it is especially, specifically meant for the living entity who can, and here's these two things again, attain transcendental knowledge and religious perfection. Now here's a sad sentence. It is not possible to go back to Godhead in one life. Ooh. Other places, certainly possible. So, his sentence continues. But, in the human form, one should at least understand the goal of life and begin Krishna consciousness. Then he elaborates. It is said that the human form is a great boon because it is the most suitable boat for crossing over the nescience ocean. The spiritual master is considered to be the most able captain of that boat, and the information from the scriptures is the favorable wind for floating over the ocean of nescience. The human being who does not take advantage of all these facilities in this life is committing suicide. Therefore, one who does not begin Krishna consciousness in the human form of life loses his life to the influence of the illusory energy. Brahma regrets the situation of such a human being. So again, it's these two things, appreciation and compassion or regret for the misfortune. The language here reminds me of a verse that Prabhupada regularly would quote from Narottam Das Thakur. Neglecting the topics of the personality of Godhead, the wonderful attraction for Radha and Krishna, instead of that, knowingly, I'm drinking poison. The poison of the topics of mundane matters. Knowingly, I'm drinking poison. So it sounds like radical, especially when everybody's drinking poison, committing suicide, losing their life to the illusory energy. But from the perspective of the Bhagavatam and the followers of the Bhagavatam, that's what's going on, and it's most regrettable. Most unfortunate. Like, you know, the recent events, this tragedy in Connecticut Elementary School, you know, what a crazy thing, what an awful thing. And looking at that, it's who can imagine what just seeing the pictures of those little children, and not just, anyway, the story is horrible. Each one of them multiple times shot with a rifle close range. Just little kids. Crazy. Vicious. Horrific. But so one can regret what an awful circumstance, but you know the bigger picture of the awful circumstance is that in the language of the Bhagavatam, and it's not just poetic language, one who does not begin Krishna consciousness, I'm reading, one who does not begin Krishna consciousness in the human form of life loses his life to the influence of the illusory energy. So that's a tragedy. I mean, put them side by side, and there's the big tragedy, and then there's the tragedy within the big tragedy. The Bhagavatam is looking at the big picture of the what great misfortune. This isn't the only place in the Bhagavatam. There are other places in the Bhagavatam that specifically describe the advantage in comparison to the all the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems, the specific by design advantage of the human form of life. To achieve the purpose of creation, it's the best. Here's a little summary. When there's a greatly opulent situation, like the situation in heaven, when there's a greatly opulent heavenly, delightful situation, but the heart is not pure, what happens?
Pride.
And one tries to become the enjoyer of the opulence. It's look at the pattern of how people live their lives. Leaving aside the 20-something years of education and hard work and getting a career together, then you get a career. And then you work in a career for a while, and you accumulate some money. And you think, boy, I need a break. So you take the savings from the hard work of all those years of study and all those years of hours of working in the workplace to go on vacation. It's called sankalpa vikalpa. So I want a break. I want a vacation. And, you know, my weekends I want a vacation, and I want, you know, I'll choose this job because I'll get more days of vacation. So I have some money saved and I go somewhere on vacation. Go to the mountains or go to Hawaii or go to Goa or, you know, go somewhere. And so now I have my savings, and when this vacation time is up and the savings are up, then I go back to work. And get some more savings so I can go on vacation and spend the money and use up my vacation time and go back to work. It's an endless cycle of, same, to make the circle bigger. I'll live a religious life in this earthly form, religious life, so that I can accumulate some piety, so that I can prosper in this life, and after this life go to the heavenly realm, spend my punya account and come back to earth and do it again. Just, you know, it's a bigger circle of the same principle, where the principle is a principle of sense gratification through fruit of activity. Dharma, artha, kama. And repeat. Dharma, artha, kama. Repeat. And just keep doing it in lifetime after. And the human form of life has the facility for that, but it has the facility for ending the repeat program, the samsara program. It's actually better. So here are the denizens of heaven, at all the way up to Brahmaloka, saying this is the best spot. So if one has opulence and a heart that's not pure, the enjoying mood is going to drag one again down. Then you go the other direction. So one is so impious, they're restricted like anything. They're just, you know, survival, struggle. So where things are too opulent, there's too much of a propensity to be the enjoyer, and when things are, there's depravity. It's just survival. So here, this human form of life, it's somewhere in between. There's sufficient, but it's not depravity. So, it's a great opportunity if the light goes on, to say, this samsara program isn't really so nice, etc. Besides what's not nice, what's nice? The opportunity is there. If someone is so busy working like a donkey, or the other side, someone is so busy being an enjoyer. Someone was describing to me their experience of going to wealthy persons' homes. They went to like million-dollar homes in a book distribution, knocking on doors. And people wouldn't open the door. And then the people that did open the door, as soon as they saw what it was, they just didn't even, they're just rude. They just slammed the door. We're busy enjoying. Get out of here. Like devotees going to resort places, you know, we're busy enjoying. We don't want books about God. We're busy enjoying. Go to the heavenly, we're busy enjoying. You know, go to Goa. How many people are looking for God? They're looking for, go to Hawaii looking for God. It's, you know, they're looking for enjoyment. The mood is very strong enjoyment in that realm. The opulent piety, but, you know, enjoy pious pleasures with pious facilities, with opulences and long duration of life and great beauty and so on. It's enjoying time. And then there's suffering time. So this is, it's the development of consciousness, of intelligence, of it's not too much this and not too much that. Sufficient. It's ideal. The human form of life is, according to the demigods, according to some common sense, it's really good. Now, it's more than good. It's ideal. It's by design. It's best. And Brahma is lamenting. How unfortunate. How regrettable. When achieving the human form of life, I lose my life. That's the language. Lose my life. For samohita mayaya. Moha means bewilderment. The mind becomes bewildered. And samohita is completely bewildered. Samohita mayaya. Vitataya. All pervasive. How unfortunate. So, learned persons, Brahma, and those that are, they understand, you know, what's what, what's going on, and which, what's up and what's down, and things like that. Where, what's, what is the circumstance in which we find ourselves? Facility and opportunity being spoiled. How unfortunate. So, what to do? What's the remedy? The remedy is exactly what he's doing here. He's offering to the demigods a description of Vaikuntha realm. In the Vaikuntha realm, compared to the heavenly realm, this is from the previous verses, compared to the earthly realm, heavenly opulences are millions of times greater. Whatever is the most glamorous personality, millions of times more glamorous in this heavenly realm. Whatever the wealth of the wealthiest persons, millions of times, etc., etc. The homes, the residences, they're all palaces, and etc., etc. So, looks like, hey, I want to go there. Get me a ticket, one way. But it's not a one way, it's round trip. And he's describing to the demigods the opulence in Vaikuntha is millions of times greater than the opulence of heaven. But there's some big differences. There's no attraction for sense gratification. It's just so beautiful. The damsels of Vaikuntha, they're twirling lotuses in their hand. Anyway, some woman trying to entice a man with her beauty and her features and her gestures, and but the men married or in packed up vimanas, they're not thinking at all. There's not even a trace of a thought of an inclination of sense gratification. Because this is a their understanding is it's a manifestation of the opulence of the Supreme Lord. We're in his abode. It's not like, oh, I have to sit straight because the boss is watching or something like that. It's their heart. Their hearts are pure. That's such a nice description. The people are perfect. Wow. Everyone is perfect. There's no envy. There's no material competition. There's no material attraction. They're doing things not for the purpose of getting something or, you know, getting something from someone. All of that contamination is absent. Time is absent. It's not an imaginary place. It's the kingdom of God. How unfortunate when the opportunity to become situated like that slips through one's hands, and instead I'm drinking poison. How unfortunate. The poison of sense gratification. And people don't usually think of sense gratification as poison. They think as like that's necessity. I can't do without it. It's unfortunate. Largely, it's the Bhagavatam attributes the difficulty, you can say, to the choice of the living entity, free will choice of the living entity, but it's also another perspective is the absence of qualified spiritual personalities, qualified, truly qualified brahmanas, because like the body without a head, or the head that doesn't have a brain. It's difficult. It's dangerous. So there must be a brain. There must be that part of the social body for persons that have proper vision. And they have proper understanding and they give direction to the rest of the social body. And then the rest of the social body, hearing that message from the brain, says yes instead of no or maybe. Let me think about it. I'm tempted to go there again. Prabhupada speaking to these spiritual personalities and professors and UNESCO people, UN people, and whole series of conversations that were arranged for him with these personalities. He was pleading with them to understand the necessity of having a brain in the head. You know, while they're doing, you know, welfare work and religious teaching and things, you know, helping the poor and the downtrodden and all those nice phrases. But what about a brain in the head? You know, the necessity, when you have the brain in the head, those things will be taken care of. What are you doing, you know, to give spiritual vision? To actually understand who, you know, what's what? Who we are, what our real identity is. And so, you know, they didn't want to hear it. It's unfortunate. And he would say, this is unfortunate. That the teaching says, hallowed be thy name. Christ said, hallowed thy name. And thy means, you know, God's name. So, you know God's name, sing and praise and hallow God's name. If you don't, here's a name. And they wouldn't take it. Well, we, you know, that's a nice idea. What's next? Or even something fundamental. It's just so sad. Be Christian to help the downtrodden and the poor and the unfortunate and kill animals. You know, what's that? They're downtrodden and poor. They're also citizens. They're also sons of God. Supposing there's a family of 10 children, there's one very intelligent child, and the intelligent child proposes to the father, my younger brother is not very intelligent. May I kill him? We can have him for a meal. What's the father going to say? You can't do that. What's wrong with you? This isn't intelligent. It's not the understanding of what will be pleasing to the Father, so please give up this idea. And, you know, and similarly, the animals are also, by all living entities, aham bija pratak pita, living entities are parts of God. Why are you killing the animal? If there's God consciousness, then you follow the commandments. And the first one, thou shalt not kill. So how can the platitude of the downtrodden and philanthropy and welfare and loving and praying, something's missing when this common sense is missing. What to do? And the Bhagavatam's method is beginning with Shravanam, hearing transcendental sound vibration from a transcendental source, from Vyasadeva and his Vedic literature. And the cream of that Vedic literature is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's good medicine, meaning it works. It works. Prabhupada would point to his American and European disciples and say, you know, to these professors and religionists and philanthropists, these people were doing all abominable things before, and just by the process, Shravanam Kirtanam, look. And it's not just a few, it's many, 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 and I'm not paying them. They gave up their opulent situation and their good jobs and their this and that, and they're just fully dedicating themselves to God's service, or with their families doing their good jobs, but dedicating themselves to God's service. And look, before they weren't. So what made the transition? It's the hearing and chanting and association with with him, with Prabhupada, with one who has a good brain. And then by training, then one can also get a good brain and give direction. It's not like, you know, it's not a pride situation. It's a receiving of good fortune situation. The unfortunate made fortunate by that process of hearing and association. From the previous verse, I'll just read this one sentence. Here in the Bhagavatam, in this verse particularly, it is stressed that people who try to discuss and understand the real spiritual nature of the spiritual sky and the Vaikunthas are fortunate. And someone made us fortunate, or gave us the opportunity. So, please take advantage of the good opportunity, become fortunate. And let go of the misfortune. Drinking poison, or some mohita, vittataya, batamayaya te, very much affected by the external energy and losing one's own identity, one's spiritual identity. Most unfortunate. Let go of the misfortune and accept the good fortune. There's the message for this morning. Any discussion?
This time one clarification about Prabhupada said it's not possible to go back.
What would you like to hear about that? You'd like to hear that is it possible, Maharaj? Because he said it's not possible. That's what you want to hear?
I have the question that I also heard that the spiritual master has to come back again and again to take the disciple back. So is it like if a disciple doesn't go back in one life? Is that like putting the spiritual master in that position to come back again?
You're asking for verification of what you've heard, and the answer is yes. Exactly how that works is a mystery, but it's a fact. And when Prabhupada would explain this, he would say, therefore, don't make your spiritual master come back. Now, when we, on the one hand, we say like that, and on the other hand, we say with clarity, pure devotees such as Srila Prabhupada, they're with Krishna. On the other hand, they must come back, because he initiated many persons that certainly didn't achieve spiritual perfection, so he must come back. But he's with Krishna. So that's why I'm saying this is a mystery, how exactly that happens. You know, the methodology and the technology and the details are not explained, but the principle is there. One example that may help you a little bit, or help shed some light on the situation. Bilva Mangala Thakur understood that his spiritual master, Somagiri, was speaking through a prostitute. You know that story? Yes? So, his spiritual master didn't become a prostitute, but his spiritual master was speaking through the prostitute. And he understood when she spoke, if only you had such attraction for Krishna that you have for this body, you'd be a perfect being. So he understood, this is my spiritual master speaking. So, like that, how the thing actually works. Is a mystery, just say like that. But the statement is not an exaggeration of some kind. It's factual. And that's the nature of a compassionate person. They don't want to be neglectful of helping persons, whatever the sacrifice may mean. But they want to do it in the right way. So, I think, anyway. Anything else?
In regards to, I understand that enjoying tenancy is not good. It doesn't go well with devotional service.
Which doesn't?
Enjoying tenancy.
Uh-huh.
So, I also understood from you that by hearing and associating and chanting, we get transformed. And Prabhupada also explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam second chapter also.
Sure, sure.
So, is it that enjoying tendency also goes away by hearing and understanding the conception that we are doing everything to please Krishna?
Well, it not exactly goes away, it just gets properly situated. Because I was having this discussion with another devotee a while ago. Anandamayo Vyasat, from the Shruti mantras. Anandamayo Vyasat. The absolute truth is Ananda. And we're part and parcel of the absolute truth. We're spirit souls, part of the Supreme. We have a tendency to be happy, because it's our constitution to be happy. So, the constitutional position doesn't go away. It just gets properly reposed. So, enjoying sense gratification goes away. But the aspiration to enjoy becomes properly reposed. Enjoy in a relationship of loving service to the Personality and Godhead. Takes So one goes away, darkness goes away, and light comes.
So enjoyance and gratification goes through the ocean choice.
Yes, yes. I like. I enjoy devotional service. And I like to be happy. And my happiness is seeing the happiness of Krishna. And in the stage of spiritual perfection, that's the happiness. Like these verses are describing, the residents of Vaikuntha flying around in their vimanas. Opulent. Better than, you know, super first class. Opulent. And there's not any trace of any thought of, wow, we finally made it, we have opulence. They're not, it's no thought of that. There's no space for it. It's not there, it's absent. Because of a greater happiness. The happiness of being in service. Transcendental happiness displaces, and then it's, so the other is just gone. The glowworm example, or the firefly example, or something like that, in the light of the sun. What is it? So the senses are there, the object of the senses are there, there's interaction, but there's no attraction because of the other happiness. It's eclipsed. The disease is gone, the healthy state is in its place.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
So what is exactly happening when we chant?
What is exactly happening when we chant? Exactly. We're associating with Krishna. Exactly. That's what's happening. Because the sound vibration is the same as the person. Because the person is absolute. Abhinatvam nama namino. Abhina, there's no difference between the name and the object named. Nama namino. Abhinatvam nama namino. So we're associating with Krishna. There's the spirit soul inside this body. And then there's the body that's making the sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So I'm using the faculties of matter. The tongue, the ear, lungs, air, consciousness, the mind. The faculties, subtle and gross, of the body are being used in an offering of service. When chanting is done properly, in the proper consciousness, not just pronunciation, but consciousness, the soul, from the soul, calling, then we're associating with Krishna. So that means the soul is becoming purified, the tongue is becoming purified, the ear is becoming purified, the mind is becoming purified. My whole spiritual immaterial existence is becoming purified by contact with Krishna through the form of his name. Namarupa, the form of his name. And then from that, what exactly is happening is the dormant propensity of the soul to be situated in service awakens, like, you know, a seed that's sitting in a jar somewhere, or a box or a bag or something, it's just sitting there. A jar of mung beans. You take one out, put it on some cloth that's moist, add some water, put it by the window. Boop! It sprouts. So that's something that's actually happening. The dormant propensity of the soul to be in service to Krishna, that which was dormant becomes awakened. It was just going somewhere else. It was, let me do something else to find happiness. whatever that something else is, in so many varieties and trying different ways, and that's going on in the dormant state, because the propensity to be happy and enjoy is there, so it comes out some other way. That dormant propensity to serve Krishna comes out, and that means I'm continuing to chant, and now there's my life, and my life is whatever it is, because when I grew up I did some things and now I've got a life. So this serving Krishna through my life, occupation, family, da-da-da-da-da-da, my leisure time, you know, what I do with my mind and my senses. Behind that comes service to Krishna. So that starts to guide and operate our life, just from chanting Hare Krishna. And so on. How do I navigate my way through this material energy? Scripture is there that helps guide us. How to, you know, get to the lighthouse, not fall into the ocean. Follow the path properly, the path of a life properly organized. So, but that starts from chanting Krishna's name. That's that sound vibration. Everything is there. The whole spiritual world is there. All knowledge is there. Spiritual opulence is there. Success is there. Everything is there, just in the name, because it's a powerful vibration. And you can't say the same thing about some other vibration. It's a unique vibration. Names of God are unique in that way. They're not different than the person. The person is the source of everything. There's not many sources of everything. There's the source of everything. So the process is very simple, and the potency to fulfill all things that one may desire is there. You can't say that about something else. That's what's happening when we're chanting Krishna's name. The soul is awakening. There's more details, but that's the beginning. I'll just add this. In the Sanskrit teachings of Rupa Goswami, he says the first two things that happen is kleshagni and shubhada. Shubha is auspicious. That which is auspicious awakens. Da, it gives, the holy name gives auspicious, spiritual auspiciousness, you know, transcendental auspiciousness to the soul directly. And kleshagni, klesha means sufferings. Sufferings are eradicated. You know, the downside is removed and the upside is increased. Just from that one. Because when you bring in light, darkness is driven away. When transcendental knowledge awakens, then illusory life pales. One just loses interest in yada 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 stuff. Just pales. Not because this other happiness is there. This, naturally it happens. It can be guided, it should be guided, but it'll happen naturally anyways. Something else? Yes?
Maharaj, my question is not directly related to today's class.
Okay.
I have this tendency of doing a lot of fault finding in Vaishnava Prabhupada, especially in the mind.
Fault finding in the mind, propensity, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I was wondering how to avoid it and what should be the attitude. Like, I feel after I do that, I keep telling myself this is not right, and should I let go and seek forgiveness from them, or...
You might be really busy. as in the age of Kali, we're not held responsible for things that just happen in the mind. The bad news is things that are in the mind have a tendency to come out anyway in speech or action. So, because the mind is uncontrolled and very disturbed, especially in the age of Kali, scripture says and our experience says, Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya yupadrita. Mind is always disturbed. Above all, the mind is always disturbed. And it's disturbed by such things. So, that's why I said you could be really busy if you just... So, maybe, you know, depending upon, let's say, depending upon the gravity of the mental fault-finding program, you know, on a specific person or a specific incident, if it's way over the top, then you might want to go and apologize, even if you didn't do anything, say anything. Better, or more common, is an adjustment of the heart. That is, either expressed to the person or about the person some words of appreciation of the person. Or just attitude-wise, serve the person without saying anything. Just, you know, turn the compass, kind of like with the GPS thing, still recalibrating. Recalculating. You just, you know, set off on another course. And the course of serving that person. And you can do that even, you know, not in direct physical contact with the person. You can do things in the mindset of, I want to do this because I know doing this in this way will be pleasing to that person. So the consciousness behind, you know, something that, let's just say take prasadam. How many, you know, three times a day we take prasadam. So if you know that there's somebody that would appreciate that you're, instead of other things, you're taking Krishna prasadam, let me honor Krishna prasadam in the consciousness that this will be pleasing to that other person. It's just pulling something out of the air. But do something that's in the mood of service to that person, especially something that you know that would be pleasing to that person. And do it in that consciousness. Cultivate that mentality as an antidote for the other mentality. You know, the conditioning is the mind's going to want to go back to the complaining, fault-finding position. And so you just keep making the path going the other position, the service position, the appreciation position. That's one suggestion. The most important thing is give the mind something that's elevating instead of something that's degrading. Admonishing, regretting that tendency, that's a good beginning. Now put something positive there instead. Something that's of the healthy condition as opposed to the disease condition. You just do the healthy condition thing. And it becomes natural. Okay? Yes?
When there is opulence and the heart is not pure, and the pride is the result.
Hmm.
So, seeing that also, in, like, I'm trying to understand in terms of having spiritual opulence, heart is anyway not pure for me at this time. But there is opulent association and situations, services. So how?
Easy. Krishna is very merciful. Krishna is very kind. Real easy. Krishna is very kind. It's real easy. And the prayers of great Vaishnavas that speak like that, that you'll find no good quality in me, and if you find any good quality, it's there because someone put it there. I am most unfortunate personality, and if you see anything that's a good fortune, it's just the kindness of those who are kind have put it there. Krishna is very kind. Krishna is very kind. Like that. And the things that one doesn't have, Krishna is very kind. The misfortune, Krishna is very, you know, how is it kindness? It's a lesson teaching me so many things. Krishna is very kind. And making that Krishna connection, then it's not just, in the beginning it may be a little mechanical, like, not from the heart, but just, okay, I'll say it, but I don't really know what that means. By practicing like that, it becomes something that you actually feel. You turn your face towards light, the darkness goes away. And you can see, in light, you can see the pots and plates, you can see things as they are. Krishna is very kind. The other is due to turning attention away from Krishna, seeing darkness, seeing shadows, seeing reflections of images, that's just reflections, is not the substance. Anything else? Yes.
Going to vacation and having sense gratification is one part, Guru Maharaj. And when you go to such places and seeing the beauty of the nature and feeling happy that Krishna created these beautiful things, we can feel like that.
Fantastic. 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 Let's go. If that's the purpose and the consciousness that one carries, fantastic. The other is, it's another covering, another variety of covering. Instead of going to Las Vegas, one goes to the mountains. You know, one is the mode of ignorance, and another is the mode of goodness. But we're speaking now transcendence. Not just, you know, I've been under all this stress, let me go for a, you know, a camping vacation and hiking in the mountains and see the beautiful, and that now I can feel a little more relaxed, I can go back into the contaminations of the stressful occupational field. Not like that. Just here's a simple way of saying the same thing. 1970, that's quite some years ago. One devotee asked Prabhupada, is it okay, Srila Prabhupada, to appreciate a beautiful sunset in a landscape, a beautiful country scene, or a rose and the shape of the rose and the fragrance of the rose and like that? Is it okay, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada's answer was yes. One should, and in doing so, one should think, how wonderful is my Krishna? And he elaborated, but that which inspires shelter in Krishna, appreciation of Krishna, attraction for Krishna, love for Krishna, to have vacations like that, for sure. Design them that way. I can't wait till I can have this opportunity to appreciate Krishna like that. And then, you know, take your beads with you and take some literature that helps think of Krishna in that situation. It will become even more Krishna-inspired experience in a peaceful mode of goodness situation. Attraction for Krishna is enhanced by that mode of goodness situation. Bring some mosquito repellent and sunblock and yes.
You mentioned about the when we chant with proper consciousness.
I did, yeah.
So, I want to know more about it. Does it mean like not chanting because I'll get money, but chanting because I understand I'm soul and Krishna is God?
Yeah, you got it.
Serve Him.
You got it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just be with Him. And be with Him means be in service to Him, be in an exchange of loving transaction, loving, that let that be the currency of love. Now I'm doing something for you and I'm expecting you to give something to me, and here's what my list is. Okay, thank you very much, and the Prabhupada.